from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it's always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they bring us this show each and every week, and they also bring the Austin edition of it as well. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. I'm not going to lead with Fred in the Chelsea jersey because I know Fred is living large right now. Chelsea beating Man City over the weekend, but Man City today won the Premier League title after Manchester United losing today 2-1 to Leicester City. We'll talk about that. We will talk about how, quite frankly, this has been a pretty amazing season for City. And I'm talking not just about the record, about the way aesthetically they play the game and the fact that they play the game literally without a center forward for the most part. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to take your phone calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Be ready. I am giving tickets away to tomorrow night's Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game. These are I'm expecting goals tomorrow night. I think this will be up and down. I think this will be a game where there are going to be a lot of chances. If you watch Sporting against Austin FC on Sunday night, well, you saw that kind of a game where they came back and won 2-1. So they've got a little bit of a quicker turnaround. The Dynamo are in the midst of a second game in 8 days. They'll have to go to Colorado this weekend. We'll see what sort of rotation policies in effect for the Dynamo. And we'll talk about and break that down tonight. Eddie Robinson and I will break it down. Next segment, we'll have Todd Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Third segment, we're going to go with Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. I think Jan is going to head over to the Euros. We're going to do a little Euro talk there, some more international talk there. Also, Ian Veery, who's with the Liverpool Supporters Group here in Houston. He will join us as well. Two great guys. Love the game. Love to talk it during that segment. You're also hoping you're going to call in. And then after that, at 8 o'clock, Eddie and I, Eddie Robinson, we will be doing the TV tomorrow night along with Cindy Bourbano on Channel 55 Quest. We will do a deeper dive into what's going on with the Dynamo, where they're at right now, where they're trying to go, and then the matchup with Sporting Kansas City, which is a good one, quite frankly. And I don't know what you guys think, but I put out the burning topics today. I truly believe the Dynamo rival is Sporting Kansas City, and a lot of that came because of familiarity breeding contempt, but the fact that there was a divisional change at one point where the Dynamo ended up playing them a lot. Those are pretty contentious affairs. So I don't think it matters. Everybody's got their opinion, but you might tell me tonight, is it FC Dallas or is it Sporting Kansas City, the main Houston Dynamo rivals? And that's a good one to talk about. Cristiano Ronaldo apparently missed Juventus training to visit the Ferrari headquarters. So, things not going good for Juventus. Barcelona today, big, big missed opportunity. They draw 3-3 with Levante, who's 14th in the table. Okay, 14th. They had a 2-0 lead. Messi hit a spectacular volley in this. That's not good news for Houston Coolis fans, without a doubt. All right, the Euros, by the way, are going to be out at Hugh O'Connor's. That's going to be the official home of Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 during the European Championships, which are right around the corner now. You got an England-Scotland game early. We're going to talk about some of the main games. But that's where we're going to kind of camp out there. Every Tuesday night, we'll do shows from there. We'll do four live shows over at Hugh O'Connor's, June 15th, 22nd, 29th, and July 6th. So looking forward to doing the live shows and getting back out and seeing some people. We're going to do jersey giveaways, raffles, tickets. You come on Tuesday night. You got a great chance of walking away with something very, very good. And, of course, you're supporting Hugh O'Connor's Pub, which a great bunch of guys. They've been together on this radio show for a long time. We both slogged it out during the pandemic year. It's very tough on bars and restaurants, so I hope you get out to those live shows. I know they're on Tuesday nights, but it'll be fun. And then they're gonna have some game-watching parties, and that'll be the place to watch it. Love that pub because it's slick, it's clean, it's got a nice dark wood kind of vibe in it, but it's not too dark. Food is excellent. All kinds of different beer, and of course, some great cocktails there as well. They do a good steak night. So that'll be where we camp out. So I hope you're going to camp out there with me during some of those shows. And we're going to get a number of different people in guest hosting. If you have any ideas for guest hosts that want to sit in with me, you let me know. Take the pressure off me. 713-780-3776. Columbus Crew fans, by the way, they're not happy with the rebrand. And they have dropped Crew from its name. What do you think of that? Saving the Crew now is taking on a new meaning. So remember, Columbus Crew version 1 moved to Austin, Texas. They got the second version. They got a new stadium coming. The new rebrand, man, talk about generic. It does not look too good. Here's the quote from Tim Bezbachenko. He said, the current direction of our club and our city provides a natural time to examine our identity going forward. Quote, our identity and brand evolution includes a shift in our mindset to be consistent contenders on the pitch, but also includes evolving our look both in the community and across competitions. With the upcoming completion of our new modern dynamic stadium, our world-class Ohio Health Performance Center, and coming off an MLS Cup championship, our marks are aligned with where we are headed as a city and as an organization. We are proud to represent Columbus on the global stage of soccer, aspire to help elevate the city and honor it for what it has done for the club. We are Columbus Soccer Club. We are the Crew, and we will always be black and gold. Yeah, you just won an MLS Cup with the old logo. That's the first thing I'll say. So they got a $313 million stadium that's set to open. I mean, is it just natural? You got to do a rebrand? I don't know. This is happening so often now that you really wonder what sometimes the real mission of this is. And you can weigh in. I mean, we had and went through a rebrand here in Houston with the Dynamo. 713-780-3776 is a number. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. And by the way, the one and only, the great Aaron Raybould, as normal, behind the glass here tonight. So I always appreciate what he does after coming off Fred and AJ's show. He does a lot to help get the show prepared with interviews and things like that. So we've got Dwayne De Rosario Part 2 tonight. My story, his book is out. The rumor is D-Ro is going to be coming to Houston to do a book tour and sign books. Now, that would be a great one to get. And I can tell you, I've read parts of the book. It's very interesting. You're going to find things out about Dwayne De Rosario you may not have known before. One of the things is he wanted to stay here. 713-780-3776, but his upbringing, his parents, some challenges as a young man. Really, really interesting read, and that would be a nice one to get signed. That's a nice keepsake if Dwayne comes to Houston. I mean, for me, he's top three all-time Major League Soccer. I don't know about you. Would you agree with that? Top three. MLS Cups, Goals of the Year, Best 11, All-Star Team. Did it all. NCAA Men's Quarterfinal Results. Marshall from West Virginia, the Thundering Herd, 1-0 over Georgetown. Georgetown won it 2 years ago. Actually called that game against Virginia. It was a great game. And by the way, those kids turned around and played 2 days after playing on a Friday night, overtime, inclement weather. And I remember they went to penalties, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, there's going to be some bad penalties hit here. And pretty much 12 rounds, everybody hits their penalty. It was incredible. 2 years ago. This is kind of a different version with all the teams in North Carolina. Wake Forest go down 2-1 to North Carolina. They were a 5 seed, so that's a big win for North Carolina. By the way, North Carolina is coached by Carlos Samuano, who's a Clear Lake area and Houston area guy that we know from the time that North Carolina came here in 2000, I think it was 16, to play the NCAA College Cup. Indiana 2-0 winners over Seton Hall of New Jersey, and East Coast versus West. West Coast, it's Pitt 3-0 over Washington. Pretty dominant win there. Jay Vidovich at Pitt. So you got some very good coaches here. Carlos Samuano, North Carolina. Todd Yeagley, son of legendary Jerry Yeagley. And then Jay Vidovich, who used to be the Wake Forest coach, took over after Walt Chisowitz passed away. Jay Vidovich has done a tremendous job with Pitt. And Pitt can't look past them. They will take on Indiana. So those are Friday semifinals. Women's College Cup semis are Thursday. Florida State and Virginia and North Carolina and Santa Clara. We had Texas A&M eliminated in the Elite Eight 1-0, which was too bad, to North Carolina. And then Texas Christian University, the Horned Frogs, have a very good program, lost 1-0 to Virginia, who had eliminated Rice in an earlier round. So college soccer trying to get a level of normalcy this year. It'll probably get even more next year. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. So Manchester City officially today became the Premier League champions. Manchester United go down 2-1 to Leicester. So they play the whole season pretty much. If you've watched some of their games, and I will say this first about Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. There is no team on the planet, in my opinion, as consistent as them. Maybe Bayern Munich, as far as game in and game out, playing to their desired model or purpose of play, combine aesthetics in there with beautiful to watch, possession, which has dominated pretty much every game. And that's pretty remarkable. Now, you can say whatever you want about Pep Guardiola, and you can say whatever you want about the amount of money that they have to buy players. Well, there are a lot of teams that have those resources. But to keep those guys that focused in a pandemic year, who are making oodles and oodles of money. And by the way, they're playing without a center forward, pretty much. I mean, they had 72 goals scored. Out of the 72, 10 of them came from quote-unquote forwards. 8 from Gabriel Jesus and 2 from Sergio Aguero, who's been injured. So basically, if you watch them closely, they would play with different guys in the 9. De Bruyne did. Foden did. Mahrez did. Raheem Sterling did. Bernardo Silva. Ferran Torres. Gundogan did. All these guys played in that role, which is pretty incredible to me, because that level of understanding, both in that position alone and then the position alone in the context of a team, pretty incredible. They did become a better defending team. Center back position got strengthened. But now their focus is on Chelsea in the Champions League final. And Chelsea, by the way, is unbeaten in the last 5. West Ham United? Boy, they're blowing their shot at Champions League money. They've lost 3 out of their last 5. They're 6 points out of a Champions League place. Liverpool is 7 points out, despite the fact that they're unbeaten in 5, although I think 2 of those are wins and the other 3 are draws. It was a big come down. Got to wonder about Liverpool tonight. We'll ask Ian Vieri about them and what the future looks like for them. Barcelona today, as I mentioned, 3-3 draw away at Levante. Okay, now this is the 14th place team in La Liga, and this is how far Barcelona has dropped. This is a huge blow to their title hopes. Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid now have the inside track. They played to a 0-0 draw this past weekend. Atletico play Real Sociedad tomorrow, and then Real Madrid will play at Granada on Thursday. But as I mentioned earlier in this segment, Levante had only won one of their previous 8 games, 14th in the table. Ronald Koeman said, "Our intensity in the second half waned. We let Levante back in." How often have you heard that from coaches? You take the foot off the pedal against the team that you have down. You take the foot off the pedal off the foot of a team that you don't feel like really has the capability of coming back. But if you're Barcelona, everybody wants to come back against you. But he knows that a good game against Barcelona, who knows what happens. So Levante got back into this game. It ends in a 3-3 draw. There were lapses in concentration. Sergiño Dest got beat out wide, and a ball was crossed in for a goal. And, of course, if there are three Barcelona goals, you know Messi probably did something special, and he did. Hit for his 37th of the season. Fantastic volley. So there you go. The Houston Culés, and, well, they're not feeling too hot today. The La Liga title would have been wide open if Barcelona had that, but I guess it still is to a degree. You know, we didn't compliment Bayern Munich enough either for winning another Bundesliga crown, nine titles in a row. But we didn't compliment them for what? The ECL. They wanted nothing to do with it because the Bundesliga is a league that is the best at taking care of their fans, engaging their fans, giving them ownership in their teams. The Bundesliga is the best. There was no ECL for them. You don't mess a good thing up when you have it going. And that's Bayern Munich in Germany. So tonight it's all 80s synth music. We're going to start you off with Depeche Mode. We're also, right now, fourth caller at 713-780-3776. Fourth caller. I'm going to give you a four-pack. It's a four-pack to tomorrow night's Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game. All right, we'll take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, they're going to bring you a personalized approach, work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. By the way, John's a big Chelsea fan. I have mentioned that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Houston Dynamo head coach Todd Ramos is next.
Hola, soy Mateo Bajamic. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Mothers y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
Big thank you there to Mateo Bajamic, still looking for his first minutes in Major League Soccer. Hey, very important here for a minute here, and I do have a veteran father that happens to still be alive at 95 years of age. I'm going to see him in the near future. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and our 2021 focus is military and veteran mental health. I'm reading this on behalf of Stop Texas Suicides. If you can kick in $5 for a virtual coffee with our friends at the Real Alpha Coffee to support hashtag Texas hashtag suicide prevention, donate here. So it's texassuicideprevention.salsalabs.org/veterans coffee. Better yet, just go to my Twitter feed and you'll see it there. It's Stop Texas Suicides. This is a great group. This is very important stuff. You know, you get a little older in life if you had a family member, a father, or something that was in the military. Well, you realize some of the behaviors that they had, are PTS and things that occurred while they were doing things that were, just so difficult to go through and on our behalf, quite frankly. So 713-780-3776, it's Stop Texas Suicides, okay? Also, FM Kitchen and Bar, great neighborhood bar, great craft cocktails. You got great food over there. Jason's running the show there. Burgers, chicken sandwich, salads are excellent. They had a great event, a charity event this past weekend. We plan on doing some over there. I go there for a good gin and tonic. I just want one really well-made gin and tonic. That's, my vice once in a while. But they've got FM Ranch Water, Highballs, Classic and Frozen Margaritas, 30 beers plus, 7 days a week. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. We thank them for their support of the show. Todd Ramos, 54 years of age, in charge tomorrow night. Houston Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City. Come into this one 1-1-2 against his former teammate, Peter Vermees. So This is a big one tomorrow for Tab Ramos, who, by the way, all of you know, was born in Uruguay, emigrated to the United States at age 11. Played 4 years, by the way, at NC State. 4 years of NCAA soccer, which generally isn't happening too often anymore if anybody's going pro. You have to factor that in. That's pretty incredible. But he was the first ever player signed by Major League Soccer. Here's my interview with Tab.
Well, Tab, let's just recap the FC Dallas game real quick in your mind. I know you said you had an improved second half.
Yeah, I thought we did. It was much better than the first half. The first half, we weren't poor, to be honest. I thought we played a decent first half, but we were just not good on the ball. There were many times where we lost possession, where we had clear possession with no pressure on. And we turn the ball over, and you know those are the moments that force you to have to do all this running that you don't necessarily need to be doing. So second half we were much better, and because we were able to keep possession, we sort of backed Dallas into their half of the field, and you know I was happy with that. You know we played basically the whole second half on their half. It's just that now we have to make plays, you know, that win games. You know you watch games throughout MLS and. It seems to me like I watch other teams win games doing so much less in attack than we've been doing. So we got to improve in that end. We got to finish our chances and we got to create better chances.
Does that come down to individuals? Does it come down to sharpening things up in the final third? What does that come down to?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, there's certain goals, certainly that are scored by players who will just take a man on and just put it in the corner. You know, I mean, we saw quite a few of those this weekend in MLS where one player individually can do it. As a team, I think we need to make better runs into the box. We need to support a little bit more, get more numbers into the box. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be one player's effort that gets you the goal. And we need that.
Talking to head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Tab Ramos, ahead of Sporting Kansas City. Maxi seemed to be in the channels a lot and going wide a lot. When that happens, you're obviously expecting somebody else to take up his center forward position. Is that right?
Yeah, we have, you know, before we used to have Memo do that when Memo was coming out of midfield. Now we expect Joe or the opposite winger to be going in that spot when he goes wide to the opposite side. So there's many different ways to handle that. Matias Vera can do it as well now that, you know, we've had Derek Jones in the middle. But, you know, it depends on the lineup that we have at any particular time.
Tab, let's talk a little bit about Derek Jones. And you know, it was very interesting in this week's press conference. You know, obviously this young man, I mean, for lack of a better word, the guy loves you for helping him get to this country and providing him opportunity. Seems like a very appreciative young man. Just take me into his game. I mean, obviously it was a little loose on the ball, but there were other things that you were very, very pleased about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to be fair, I don't want to take credit for things I haven't done. You know, I did help Derek and I've been a good supporter of Derek as a person. And I try to help him with, you know, paperwork with, you know, becoming a U.S. citizen and being able to play for the U.S. That's pretty much the extent of it. You know, I do like him as a person. I think he's a, you know, he's a good player to have around in the locker room. He's a great athlete, and I think he's going to help us a lot on the field. And yeah, I mean, we're just starting to give him some time. He's playing in the position he always wanted to play, and he's adapting to that. You know, in Philadelphia, they played him a little bit more as an 8. In Nashville, they played him more as a 10. Now we play him when we play him more as a 6. He's always wanted to play more as a 6. And so we're trying to fit him into the role that he likes, that I think it's good for our team, that can help our team. But there's no question that, you know, he's still a younger player and there's still a learning curve.
Tab Ramos, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, will take on his great friend and former teammate, Peter Vermees, tomorrow night. That's a game. You can get tickets still at HoustonDynamo.com. Is it important for him, if he gets the start, to be rooted in front of the two center backs, especially in that area that Alan Pulido likes to work in?
Yeah, I mean, potentially, yes, because we, for the most part, it depends on how Pulido plays. You know, Pulido sometimes stays mostly central in the box And sometimes he'll roam everywhere. So he doesn't necessarily roam to the area right in front of the two center backs. Sometimes he goes wide. You know, he goes in midfield and wide. So you can only follow him so far. And then after, you know, after you follow him, you got to let him go and pass him on. And sometimes, you know, if Derek would be playing that position centrally, it would be passed on to him. If he, you know, if he goes to one of the two sides, could potentially be passed on to Matias or to Joe or Memo or whoever is playing on one of those sides.
Gianluca Busio, the 18-year-old, got into some very, very good areas against Austin FC. And I know you're fully aware of him. That's another guy I guess you have to be very fully concentrated on.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice to see how he's coming along, playing a central position. You know, Busio, when he played on the youth national teams, he was always a winger. And we always felt like in those positions, maybe he didn't have the speed to be like, to continue to be a winger. And I think Peter probably recognized that he's an incredibly skillful player in the middle of the field, and he's had him there on the first team. And I think obviously, you know, the results have been great. You know, he scored goals, he gets assists, and the Austin game, he could have scored a couple more goals, you know, if it's not for the goalkeeper making a couple saves. So, you know, he created a lot against Austin, he was unfortunate not to get a couple goals for sure.
Tab, do you see this as a transitional game, an up and down game, much like the Austin FC game that Sporting came back and won late?
No question. I think you're looking at two teams that like to pressure high, teams that don't like to wait for the game to come to them. They kind of go searching for it. I think we're similar in many respects. Obviously, our rosters are different, but a lot of the ideas are the same. And I expected high intensity as all four games we played each other last year.
I would have to think that Minor Figueroa getting back in the lineup, with all due respect to the great work Boniac Garcia did, Minor really seemed to give you a little bit more muscle back there and a little solid area, it seemed.
Yeah, Minor played a great game. I mean, we didn't know what to expect, really. He's a great guy, so I don't want to say he was getting impatient about playing, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. You know, he was out for a good month and a half from playing, and I think we waited till the right moment, and I think he had a great showing. So I thought he made us stronger in the back.
And the other thing I'd take you into in the FC Dallas game was, you know, you had Memo playing as kind of a hybrid, coming inside a little bit with Joe Corona and that kind of tactical plan. How do you think that worked? Is that something you still like in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's potentially something we continue to want to do. And at some point, we're going to continue to try. A lot of it sometimes depends too on what roster I have available. So if Tyler is coming around and he can play, then that's a position that I think fits Tyler perfectly. But yeah, Memo can do the job as well, although I feel like Memo is more of a central player.
At this point on Tuesday, is there any update on Tyler Pasher that you can share or not?
I mean, at this point, you know, he's just moving around along. He's making progress. I mean, I don't see him, you know, a best case scenario. I can see him being possibly on the bench.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, ahead of Sporting Kansas City. It's been a great rivalry. It was a team you had very good success against last year. You had that 5-2 win at Children's Mercy Park. I'm just wondering what that is, because you and Peter are such great friends. That's one thing that everybody knows, a great history, both as players together and coaches. Is there a soft underbelly to that team? What does a game like this come down to?
Well, we're both fast transition teams. So I think anytime, I think you're going to watch, you know, Houston play Kansas City. You're going to find two teams that, you know, that are going to be trying to win the ball high, trying to go to goal all the time. And that leaves you exposed at the back a little bit more. So I think both teams, no question, can do better in defensive transition. So I think, you know, tomorrow, obviously, it's our home game. It's a game we need to win. So we have to do everything we can to win the game. But obviously, Houston, Kansas City, no matter where the game is played, is going to be a game that I think either team can win.
No one better to talk to about ball possession than you, based on the way you played the game.
Are there going to be moments where you are expecting your team, though, to maybe put a foot on the ball and just try and manage a time period a little bit through possession in these games? Because at some point, it's tough to go all out high pressing all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's two separate. It's really two separate things. I think, you know, most people are under the impression that when you're a high pressing team, that you're just sprinting all the time. And that's not really the case. I mean, if you look at the Dallas game and you look at the numbers of our running in the Dallas game compared to other games, it's not more. It's just the area of the field in which we did the running. So we'd rather do all our running on the opposing team side of the field than on ours. And that's, fortunately, possession brings you the possibility to be able to do that. And so, possession becomes important at different times. And if we can hold the ball, we certainly have to do it better than we did it in the first half against Dallas.
Tab, I looked up something very interesting about you and Peter. You guys in 90 played in Berlin against East Germany. There's not many people who can say they played against East Germany, right, at that time period in Berlin. That must have been a pretty amazing experience to be in that country, be there at that time, right around the reunification of the country.
It was an incredible moment for the world at the time. It was unreal being in East Berlin at that moment. The wall had just come down. You know, we actually went to the wall. We brought pieces of the wall back home. It was amazing to see. I mean, this is for a completely different show, more of a documentary, but it was amazing to see what West Germany looked like and what East Germany looked like. So East Berlin and West Berlin, it was literally East Berlin looked like someone had turned off the lights, you know, 40 years ago and no one turned them back on. And then you looked over the wall to the other side and you see this modern, you know, Western, you know, Germany that was just, you know, up to the latest trends of everything. And it's amazing that that was only literally, you know, 10 yards away from each other. So it was a surreal experience. It was a wonderful moment that I'll never forget. And there's so much that I forget from the time I played. But that's certainly a moment I will not forget, playing the last game that East Germany ever played as a country. They played it against us and we were part of that game. So it's just a great experience.
So what I remember about you and Peter is, because I think this was really your beginning at the national team level, right? Because you were the highly touted guy. 89, you guys were on the New Jersey Eagles for a handful of games. I remember playing against you. And then there you were in 90. And I remember the days we played against you that everybody was talking about you at that time. And Peter was playing as a forward in front of you. And then there you are a short time later in East Berlin. Pretty unbelievable.
It was incredible. It's an amazing lifetime experience that goes so far beyond soccer. And definitely I remember that moment as I would remember any World Cup that I've been in.
Tab, listen, best of luck against Sporting Kansas City. That was a great little segment there to hear you talk about East Berlin. That was pretty remarkable, and I was really interested to hear what you'd say on it. Best of luck against Sporting Kansas City.
Thank you so much.
All right, that was Tab Ramos. Hope you pick some good nuggets out of there. We are enjoying having a coach that really will talk about his team. It's very enlightening, and I think for fans, as I think that is the job of a manager and a head coach, not all of them do it, and I think we are fortunate to be able to get that conversation. All time, Dynamo 12 wins, Sporting Kansas City 10, 13 draws. They will play each other tomorrow night. We will hear from Sporting Kansas City head coach Peter Vermees a little bit later in the show. I want to remind you again, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The focus is military and veteran mental health, but really all mental health. But there is a Twitter handle, Stop Texas Suicides. Would love for you to go there and check out at the Alpha Coffee to support Texas Suicide Prevention. It's texassuicideprevention.salsalabs.org/veteranscoffee. Also, big thank you as always to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for their support of this show. And of course, Advantage BMW down in Midtown. Big thank you to Advantage BMW. Go down there. They'll get you set up. Sedan, X5, BMWs, they drive like no other. Yeah, German engineering, German soccer, it all goes together.
The other thing I love at Advantage BMW, customer service, second to none. They'll cover you sales, service, finance, and it can be done so easy. Advantage BMW Midtown, go down there, say hello to Steven, say hello to Justin, and they will take you through the process. All right, we continue on here with our 80s synth music. Take a break, more to come.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And again, I just would ask you, if you see that Texas suicide prevention tweet that's on my thread, I would love if you retweeted that. It would be wonderful. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And one of our great sponsors, well, it's Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. My house is full of this man's furniture. He's very, very happy because Denmark is in the Euros, and he joins us now. They call him the Great Dane. It's not Peter Schmeichel. It's not Schmeichel. It's Jan Christensen. He joins us now. Jan, how are you?
Hey, Glenn. Great, man. Good to hear your voice, man. Always a great show here.
Well, we appreciate all the support that you give the show. I'm going to go right to, and I don't know if Ian Veery has gotten on yet. We're waiting for Ian. I think he'll be calling in too, but you know Ian very well. So Denmark takes on Finland in Copenhagen, Group B, June 12th, and something tells me you're probably going to that game or trying to go to that game in the Euros.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying. You know, they would allow about 15,000 people at the 45,000 stadium there. So it could be difficult, but you know, I'm going to be in Copenhagen. I'm definitely going to give it a shot and go there. And because this is the first time ever that Finland is at the Euro, so that's a big deal for the Finns. And of course, yeah, we always had a good grip on the Finns. I can't even remember they ever beating us. But you know, anything can happen at the Euros.
Yeah, it's 110 years.
Belgium and Russia as well in our group.
110 years, Finland has never been in a major men's tournament. They take on Denmark. This is the 60th time these two teams will meet. And, they got some history back in Euro 88 qualifying and things, but it is pretty incredible. And I guess the other game that we take a look at is Turkey and Italy. That's in Rome, Group A. That'll kick it off June 11th. By the way, we're going to be out at Hugh O'Connor's. I know, Jan, you'll be there when you can be. But that's going to be Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, home of the Euros. We'll do a bunch of live shows out there. Again, it's Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10. I know you've been there before.
Yeah, I know. There's a Liverpool bar, you know. So as a Liverpool fan, I've been there often, you know. So it's a great bar, great atmosphere, and I'm sure you're going to make the atmosphere even better.
Well, that's the aim. Turkey takes on Italy in Rome. That ought to be pretty amazing to kick this off June 11th. Remember, this was supposed to be played in 2020. What are some of the other games, Jan, you're thinking about and looking at here?
Well, of course, my favorite is still to win the tournament. I still believe that Belgium can do it this time, you know. And of course, they are in they're in group with Denmark, but you know, I love Belgium, and of course, games like from the World Cup game, England Croatia, you know, they, as you remember from the World Cup, you know, they had dramatic semifinal there, and I think that could be a good game to look at. I think that's on June 13th. I think
I like and, this one, Jan. I like this one. Portugal against France in Budapest. There's a number of different countries and cities hosting. Group F, June 23rd. So that's the Euro holders against the world champions and the World Cup winners, France. How about that?
That's a great game too, Glenn. And don't forget the ever rival England, Scotland.
But before we go, to England, Scotland, I'm just worried about that Portugal France game because apparently. Cristiano Ronaldo did not show up to practice. He instead went to a Ferrari dealership or something. I hope he shows up for that game against France in Budapest.
oh man, he better, you know, because if not, Portugal might, but you know, Portugal has so many good players today. You know, Ronaldo might be a little more on the sidelines than he ever been, you know, but it's going to be a good game.
You know what, Jan? I'm going to have you go be the guy who says to Cristiano Ronaldo that he's going to be on the sidelines. I'm going to let you do that. In fact, Portugal's manager would love for you to do that.
Yeah, the day will come. The day will come. Maybe he'll be in the MLS. He'll be the new star.
You know what?
Yeah,
I guess he could be Miami bound. You never know.
Okay, yeah,
so
never know.
You took us to a legendary game, England-Scotland. The last time England were Euro hosts in 96. Their second game in that tournament was against Scotland. Alan Shearer scored in that one. Gary McAllister had a penalty saved. And Paul Gascoigne had the memorable game winner in that one. But this is Scotland's first Euro finals since then. Scotland's always great to have at the party, right?
Yeah, I mean, Scotland, you know, they're gonna leave the blood on the field. We know that, you know, but I don't think Scotland has a chance. But that's just my judgment. Anyway.
All right. Let's go to Munich. Munich on June 23rd, Germany and Hungary. I mean, the Germans always have to be considered one of the favorites.
Yeah, Germany's got, I mean, they were embarrassed, as you know, against North Macedonia here in the World Cup qualifiers. So they're going to come back strong. You know, they're always a good tournament team. And you know, even Hungary is on the up, you know, but I still don't think that will be a good meal for Germany.
Hungary trying to get out of the knockout stages. By the way, haven't been in a Euro finals in 44 years. Now, who's the first player that comes to your mind? I'm not going to say it because I know you're going to get it when you think of the history of Hungarian football.
Oh, that's Puskas.
You got it. Yeah. The mighty Magyars.
Yeah, Puskas, man.
1954
yeah, fantastic.
World Cup defeated West Germany 8-3. All right. All right.
Yeah.
We're still
then,
waiting on then, Ian Veery.
And then they lost the final. Remember that, Glenn?
Yeah.
Hungary thought it was too easy. That's a classic. That's going to be easy. We won 8-3 in the first game. We're going to beat them. But Germany, they knew what they were doing.
Well, about Spain and Poland anyway,
did you hear,
Seville.
Did you hear, Glenn, the Champions final has been moved to Porto?
No. The Champions League final has been moved to Porto?
They've been moved to Porto due to the restrictions in Turkey now.
In Turkey, okay.
And they had negotiations with Wembley. But the British wouldn't let the people in that they wanted to let in, so they moved it to Porto.
Well, that's good news, Jan. I'm glad you said that because I knew that was in discussion. I had talked to some of my friends in Turkey, and they were like, I don't think it's going to happen here. Why should it?
Right.
England
right.
would have made
and I thought
it would
be perfect at Wembley,
travel.
You know, with two British teams. But the British wouldn't let the guests in and all that stuff. So they said no. So that was a shame.
Well, you know, at this point, they're trying to get it done. It's going to be a great game. Let's talk a little bit about that now that you brought it up. Manchester City's won the title now. You know,
wow.
Here's a team, Jan, that I was mentioning.
We have to congratulate Man City today. We have to congratulate them, Glenn, man. That was just, you know, awesome, awesome. And I have to take my hat off of Guardiola, you know. It's just,
well, that's what I want to lead you into. Listen to this. In the first segment, I talked about this team. Really playing the entire year without a center forward, with a false nine. The consistency of the soccer that they've played to me is something special. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, some coaches, they say, well, soccer is not that complex a game. You just have to play. But, you know, Guardiola, he's just like a chess master, you know, and the way he manages his players, the way he gets in their head and they understand their weaknesses and their strengths and the way he communicates with his leaders on the field. I mean, this is a much more difficult than people think it is. You know, as you know, I've been a little bit in the coaching business, and the way he can do this year after year and the passion he does it with. I mean, I've never seen a coach with his passion in many ways. And he never puts his players under the bus like Jose Mourinho does. He never, you know, he just said that's soccer. That's what happens in soccer. You know, I just think that he, look at the player like Gundogan. You know, when he came to Man City, he was just an average player. But now he's a superstar, man. He understands Pep. He always don't get stupid yellow cards. His runs are perfect. He's offensive. He's defensive, and he's just a. I think he's a big part of this team this year, and then suddenly he's scoring goals too, man. I mean, it's just, and that's created. I judge that's created by Guardiola.
Well, of course it is. I mean, you can say whatever you want about him. I think it's fascinating that we're gonna hold Ian Veery over into the next segment if he can do that. But we'll finish here with Jan. But playing with a false nine, they used a number of different guys: De Bruyne, Foden, Mahrez, Sterling, Bernardo Silva, Ferran Torres, Gundogan, as you mentioned. These guys didn't play with a center forward. They got 10 goals from what you would call center forwards, and Gabriel Jesus with 8, Sergio Aguero with 2. But the consistency, the aesthetics, the possession, game in and game out consistency, that was like Liverpool when they won their title, it's absolutely remarkable. And these are multi-million dollar players. You know, to keep them on the same page during a pandemic and produce that quality of soccer, to me, is off the charts.
Yeah, it is, you know. He's done it, with Barcelona. You know, he had like, I think 6 of his Barcelona players was on the world's best 11. But that's not the case with Man City. You know, they don't really have superstars. They have great players, but no superstars. And because, you know, a lot of times the superstars, they prefer to be in London or Paris or you know, in the big cities. And Manchester is not exactly the most interesting city to be in. So I think he just attracts players.
You just made some enemies in Manchester, Jan. You just made some enemies.
Yeah.
They're not going to have you over for a year. Tom Clare's not going to be happy with you.
No, but I'm
going to politely.
From a player point of view, that is young. And anyway,
I'm going to politely disagree. How can we not say De Bruyne is not a star?
Right. I agree. And that is his superstar. I know. But what I think with him, Glenn, is that the creativity is more important than the system.
Well, he still pulls the strings.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he's a superstar that's not on Twitter a lot, not taking a lot of pictures of himself, and maybe that's why he doesn't seem a little larger than life to some of these others. But this guy, I mean, to just focus on him and watch him in the course of a game and watch what he does, simply look at him when he plays, it's remarkable where his head is turning, the snapshots he's taking, it's ridiculous.
But Guardiola's style of soccer is a celebration of the individual, you know, because that's what he does. He goes to each player and make them better than they were when they came to him. Like, for example, a good example, I think, is that, what's the right back? Walker, Kyle Walker. Mm-hmm. I think he was just an average player, but Guardiola has made him really good.
Ruben Diaz, the young center back. Jan, give a shout-out to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture before we hit a break here, please.
Yeah. Danish Inspirations, you know, furniture with a future and with a lot of love for soccer.
Now I want you to give us the goal call because, you know what, when people go there, they're going to realize their furniture.
Goal!
There you go. Danish Inspirations,
all
modern
right, bro.
Contemporary furniture. He's the best. He's Jan Christensen. Jan, thank you so much for going on. Let me know if you're going to head over to Denmark and you will be one of our special guests.
I'll see you tomorrow night at the Dynamo game, Glenn. All right.
Look forward to seeing you there. The great Jan Christensen. Yeah. We're going to hold Ian Veery over. We thank Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture for everything that they do. And you know what? On behalf of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, guess what? How about a 4-pack right now? Caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. Caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. You get a 4-pack to tomorrow night's great rivalry match, the Houston Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City. And by the way, my great friend AY won the first group of tickets. And for that, that warms my heart tonight because AY is one of the best. We'll take a break here. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm and FM Kitchen and Bar.
This is ESPN 97.5.